and I'll let Andrew introduce his family. But Andrew Friesen, I met, I think, like 12-ish years ago in Calvary Temple in Winnipeg. A friend of mine, Trevor Meyer, I was visiting with him, and he said, "Hey, you got to meet this guy." And I actually remember Trevor introducing him to me and saying, "This guy is leading a pile of people to Jesus." And so we actually didn't even get to talk that much, just for a few minutes, but there was something in my spirit that just, it was like God highlighted him. And so I don't even know, I started following you on Facebook or something somehow. And anyway, we've just kind of connected a bit over the last while, and I've been following his ministry in Colombia. And God is doing great things through you guys. And so we're just honored to have you. I had told Andrew a while ago, if you're ever coming by, we want to have you in our church. And so I'm really glad that it worked out. And I think you're going to be really blessed. And so welcome, Andrew. And would you just give him a hand as he comes? So bless you.
Thank you. Well, first, I want to thank Pastor Paul. I also want to thank his lovely parents, Pastor Hans and his wife. Really, we feel at home here. And what a beautiful Maples Creek. Wow. So the first time I've been here. It's beautiful. It's small. I like it. It's cozy. And I think you are ready for God to do something great in your life and in Maple Creek. How many can say amen to that? And I was thinking about this. And actually, we have a lot in common. Paul and myself, we both love Jesus with all of our hearts. We preach the Word of God with all of our hearts. And we have children about the same age. And I thought we both had a Mennonite last name. I was hoping we would have a Mennonite, but I discovered by talking with Pastor Hans, no, not really. But I still like to think so. But we have a lot in common, and we love the Lord and the power of God, and it's a joy to be with you this morning. And I just want to invite my wife to come up and pray, because how many people here believe, and I think you do believe, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever? We really believe Jesus is here. His presence is here because we feel him, we know him, and we sense him here with us. And if Jesus healed the sick 2,019 years ago, Jesus heals the sick today in Maple Creek. Can you say amen to that? And the gospel is the power of God. It doesn't say the gospel was the power of God. Today we're going to discover, not only hear the gospel, but we're going to see the power of the gospel in demonstration. And so I want my wife to pray for us. Thank you, Rocio.
Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your amazing presence in this place, for your manifested presence in this place, for the wonderful signs and miracles that are about to happen. Thank you, Jesus, because you give us the faith to believe. Thank you, Jesus. Our trust is in you. There's nothing impossible with you. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thank you, Lord, for surprising us. Thank you, Lord, for deliverance. Thank you, Lord, for answers in the Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. How many can say amen? Well, I want to begin also by welcoming you. You may be here for the first time. I want to express that God loves you unconditionally. God loves all people. And it doesn't matter what your background, doesn't matter what your belief. You may even have questions about miracles. People are skeptical, and I understand that. And I want to say to you as well, relax. God loves you unconditionally. My God is no respecter of persons. That means he loves all people equally. And because my God is love, my God loves people unconditionally. I also, my wife and myself, we love people unconditionally. It doesn't matter what you believe. Doesn't matter even what your sin is, doesn't matter what your doubts are, doesn't matter what your questions are, you are welcome here today because God loves all people. How many can say amen to that? Amen? Give Jesus a hand clap for that. If you believe God loves all people. So I have not come here to judge. I have not come here to say, one group or one religion or this race or this group of people is superior to this group of people. No, I hate that. God loves all people. For God so loved the world. Hallelujah. For God so loved Maple Creek. For God so loved you. And so God loves all people. You're welcome here. And I have come here really for one purpose. And it's not to talk even about my ministry. It's not even to talk about my anointing or my special gifting that God has given me. I am here for one purpose today and tonight. I'm here to lift up the name that is above every name. I'm here to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ and to preach good news, not bad news, not fake news. Before they were even saying the fake news, I was, you know, CNN, constant negative news. That's what I called it. I haven't come here to preach that. No, I've come to preach good news. Hallelujah. We have enough bad news. Good news for Maple Creek. How many are excited about that? Come on, give Jesus a hand clap. Good news. Oh, good news. I'm a good news guy. I'm a good news guy. A good news preacher. Okay, so I want to share a little bit of how this morning is going to turn out. And the Lord is going to move powerfully. First of all, I'm going to share a powerful message with you from the Scripture. How many are ready to hear a message from the Word of God? And then after I share this message that God has given me for you, specifically in Maple Creek this morning, I'm going to pray for people. I'm going to pray three prayers. The first prayer is a prayer of salvation. If you're here and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we're not going to embarrass you. We're not going to shame you. No, it's good news. But I'm going to pray with you and you're going to receive. I believe you're going to receive new life in Jesus. That's the first prayer. The second prayer, I want to pray for the sick. And we're going to see many people healed instantly here. And I'm so grateful that this church is open to the power of God, is open to miracles. Because it may not make sense to your mind, but don't worry about it. A Russian psychologist says we only use 10% of our brains anyways. So don't try to figure it out. And that's on a good day. We have the ability to learn over 60 languages, and most of us here don't know over 30. Are you with me? So don't worry about it. Just open up your spirit. Amen. And receive from the Lord. It's that simple. And then I want to pray for the Holy Spirit to baptize you in His power. And you're going to feel the power of God, like we could say anointing, the power of God, a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. Some of you may even laugh. And the Holy Spirit is just going to fall on you. And you're going to have an amazing experience with God. I believe if you open your hearts up to receive from the Lord. How many can say amen? So I want to invite you to turn with me in your Bible to the book of Mark, chapter 16, verse 15. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And another scripture, the Apostle Paul says in Romans, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God." The dunamis, that's in the Greek, dynamite. That's where we get the word dynamite. The gospel is the dynamite of God. It is the power of God. So notice the scripture does not say the gospel was the power of God. It doesn't say the gospel will become the power of God. Literally, these words light up to me in my spirit. I get so excited. It says the gospel is the power of God. Hallelujah. And Jesus said, our commission, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They'll speak with new tongues. They'll take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Verse 19. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. Verse 20. And they went out and preached everywhere. Now the scripture says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But what word of God? The word there is the word Christos. It means Christ, the word about Christ, the word about the gospel. In the context here, faith does not come just by hearing motivational messages. It doesn't come, actually, by hearing motivational messages, which can be good. But true faith, the faith that you desire, the faith that produces signs, wonders, and miracles, the faith that sees big things happen in your life, comes by hearing and hearing by the gospel. So even if you're sitting here today and you say, wow, yeah, I believe God can do it for that person over there, but Andrew doesn't know my situation. He doesn't know the problem and the struggle I'm going through. But God knows. That's why God sent us. And if you will open up your heart to listen to the gospel, he will literally give you that faith. It's a gift. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This not from yourselves. It is a gift of God. You can't even make it happen. But if you listen to the gospel, he will give you that faith that you desire. How many are happy about that? Can you say amen? And they went out and preached everywhere. This is the secret. The Lord working with them. The Lord is working with me right now. And he will confirm the word, the gospel, through the accompanying signs. Amen. Hallelujah. Wow. If you don't like my message, don't worry about it. I like it myself. I make myself happy just by preaching this. Hallelujah. So, what is the gospel? I was preaching in a stadium in South America. There were 11,000 people in a city, a little town, actually. A little bit bigger than Maple Creek. But in Colombia, 50 million people. We lived in a city, 3 million people. Bogota, Colombia has 10 million people. So this is like a town, like a cow town to us. Just like many cow towns here. So the stadium, though, it was called San Mateo, St. Matthew. 11,000 people. That's about just over three Maple Creeks in a stadium to come hear the gospel. Can you imagine? And we advertised, the blind will see, the lame will walk, the blind, the deaf will hear. People were like, what? It wasn't a concert. We were saying, you know what? Jesus Christ really is the same yesterday, today, and forever. They were doing news interviews with me on the television, the radio. And they said, why? How in the world can you have this kind of advertising and confidence? And I look at them and I said, this confidence, it does not come from me. I'm confident because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I told them, I said, he's never failed me, not even once. Not even once. And so, all the pastors from the city united together. We're in the stadium, 11,000 people. I stand up to the platform to preach in Spanish. I preach in Spanish. God gave me this gift. And I preach in Spanish, but they notice that I'm a gringo. I'm not from their area. There's an accent there, right? But I came to preach about Jesus. And I announced to them, I'm going to preach the gospel. And when I'm done preaching, I'm going to pray. And tonight, Jesus will heal the lame people. And they all look at me. And some of the pastors now are really nervous. Like, I hope this gringo knows what he's talking about. And it's really quiet after I'm preaching. And I say, now has come the time. Jesus is going to heal the lame. Let's close our eyes and pray. There is a young man named Jose Gonzalez. Jose Gonzalez, he was sitting in the front row. And I remember I saw him in a wheelchair. You can watch the whole documentary in detail on YouTube. He was in a car accident. He broke his ankle. He broke his knees. He broke his hips. And he's 22 years old, imagine. And he wasn't a Christian. He wasn't a Catholic. He just liked to drink beer and party 24/7. But somebody told him, why don't you go to the stadium? There's a gringo there, and they're saying that the lame will walk. Maybe Jesus can do something for you. So he came to the stadium, and while I'm praying, he said that he heard a voice, literally a voice behind him saying, get up. And he just stood up in his wheelchair while I'm praying. The power of God touches him. He felt like a heat, like many of you are going to feel in just a few minutes. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. And he stands up totally and completely healed. All the pain is gone. And now he's walking perfectly healed. He didn't know what to say. We said, if you feel healed, come to the platform. He comes to the platform. He's standing on the platform in front of all these thousands of people. And he was kind of dumbfounded. He didn't understand our Christianese language, you know, like, hallelujah, glory to God. He's kind of like, he's like crying. He's just walking. He's totally healed. Hallelujah. The gospel is the power of God. Why? I was preaching the gospel. Are you listening? I was preaching the gospel. Now look, I was preaching the gospel. Jose was listening to the gospel. Are you with me? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. God gave him the faith in his heart to believe. And then when there's faith, Jesus said what? You will see the glory of God if you believe. Signs, wonders and miracles. Jose Gonzalez is completely healed. We went to his house and we did an interview with him. We interviewed his family, his neighbors. All of his neighbors get saved. All of his neighbors get saved. They can't believe it. They're looking at a man. Yesterday, one guy says, I saw him. He's going down the street in a wheelchair. Now he's walking. What is this? I took the opportunity and I said, this is proof that Jesus is alive. The gospel is the power of God. They all repented and believed the gospel. Now Jose is totally healed. He sings in the church choir in El Banco Magdalena in Colombia. And he wants to be a pastor. Come on, give Jesus a hand clap for that. Why? Why does this happen? Because the gospel is the power of God. Why did Jose get healed? The gospel is the power of God. Hallelujah. It's the power of God for you. I was preaching in another stadium in Colombia, and a dear Catholic lady brought her neighbor to come hear me preach with my family and our team in the stadium in Colombia. We travel to different cities and do this all over. It's the gift God has given me. But the gospel is the power of God. That's what I preach. I preach the gospel. And so She brings her deaf mute. Are you listening? He's deaf and he's mute. His name is Cheo. He's never heard. He's never spoken. She brings her deaf mute neighbor Cheo to the stadium where I'm preaching. While I'm preaching the gospel, the power of God is moving. And all of a sudden, Cheo, who's in the crowd, he starts to make hand signals to his friend, like, I can hear. Never heard. Never spoke. He comes up onto the platform, and I start talking to him. He starts to talk in English. He's making words like baby sounds, kind of like for the first time. He's never spoken before, but he's speaking. We went to his house. All of his family and neighbors get saved. He was a taxi driver. He drives these taxis. If you've been to these countries before, you've seen like in India, you know, they have like these little rickshaws and these taxis that go around. Well, he was a taxi driver, so everybody knew Cheo. And they made fun of him. They called him like a donkey because he would never respond because they knew he couldn't hear. He's like a deaf mute. And so all these taxi drivers in this city now, they're seeing this miracle and they get saved as well. Why? Because the gospel is the power of God. Listen, the gospel is the power of God. For your situation, the gospel is the power of God. Hallelujah. Well, Andrew, I know that happens in those other countries. But we live in Maple Creek. The people here are different. Oh, wow. Okay, how deep is that? The people in Maple Creek, they're from Maple Creek. Ooh, I never knew that. And the people in Colombia, they're from Colombia. Yeah, but the gospel is the power of God. It doesn't say in Colombia, then Maple Creek. No. It is the power of God. This is what's transformed my life. The Holy Spirit transformed my life. And I preach the gospel everywhere I go. Not just in stadiums, but I have testimonies from right here in Canada, in Winnipeg. Just the other week, I was in Winnipeg walking to the mall, Portage Place, early in the morning. I see a young man sitting on the picnic table in Central Park. I approach him and I start sharing with him the gospel. He was a gang member doing drugs. He starts crying because the gospel is the power of God. And then he says to me, are you doing anything now? I said, no, let's go for coffee. I shared a Tim Hortons coffee with me. I'm standing in line and he goes, yeah, you know, I was a part of a church before, but you're different. You're not like those other people. You're nice. You're kind. You're preaching the gospel. You're preaching this message about Jesus. I said, yeah, the gospel is the power of God. It changes our lives. We shared a coffee, Tim Hortons coffee. I sat down with him. And while I'm in line, there's another lady there who I prayed for earlier who was instantly healed in her back and her legs. I pray for people everywhere I go. I share the gospel everywhere I go. I'm not like those other guys. I do this everywhere I go. So she's in line and now she's with her friend. She goes, hey, I want you to pray for my friend. So now I'm having coffee with my friend. This happened just the other week. This happens to me. When you preach the gospel, amazing things happen. Signs, wonders, and miracles. Because the Lord, the Holy Spirit, he loves to confirm the gospel. It honors God. So then she wants me to pray for her friend. And I go and I sit down in the food court. She's sitting there with her friend having the Tim Hortons coffee. And I tell me, well, what's the problem? And she starts to open up her heart. She's just crying. She said, well, my son killed himself 2 weeks ago. She goes, I have arthritis, arthrosis in my back, pain, terrible pain in my back. My whole body is full of pain. Her face just looked depressed. What did I do? I shared the gospel with her. Are you with me? I shared the good news with her. And then I prayed for her and she was instantly healed. Her back, right in the middle of the mall there, she starts to move her back. Her face completely changed. She had a smile on her face. Wow. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. This is what's happening right now in Maple Creek. This is what's going to happen when I'm done preaching this message. Hallelujah. Are you ready for it? This is what's going to happen tonight. So what is the gospel? Number one, purpose. Say that with me, purpose. Say it again, purpose. God created the world for a purpose. God created Adam and Eve for a purpose. What's your purpose? Every one of you here has a purpose. Your purpose is, number one, to know God and to make him known and live for his glory. So who is God? God is, listen, agape love. Unconditional love. The Father, the Son, Holy Spirit. Some of the old ancient fathers of the faith, they called it the circle divine dance of love. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. This God who has a heart of the Father. He is the great Father. And because this Father heart of God, he wanted to have a family. Why? Because he wanted to share this love with his family. He wanted to love. He wanted to share his love. Love cannot be love unless it is shared. Are you with me? And God wanted to share his joy with us. So your purpose is to be loved by God and to love God. How many can say amen to that? Every one of you. And so God created Adam and Eve to be loved and to love God. Simple. He did not create them to feel guilty, to always feel, I'm not good enough. Oh, I did something wrong. Oh, what's going on? No, he created them to live totally conscious of unconditional love. You know what religion will always do? It will always leave you second guessing. It will always leave you wondering, kind of in this limbo mode. Did you pray enough? Did you fast enough? Are you good enough? Is this good enough? Is your family good enough? It'll always leave. And then when you pray, it'll say, well, did you fast enough? And it will always leave you in a condemnation. Are you with me? God did not create you to live that way. God created you to live totally conscious of his unconditional love for you. Wow. And then God also created Adam and Eve not to be sick. He created their legs to walk. He created their eyes to see. He created their mouth to speak. He created their body to function properly. And that's the same for you. God did not, some people say, oh, it's God's will. God's being glorified through my sickness. Really? Really? No. How can that glorify God? God's trying to teach me something through my sickness. Come on. I think God is a loving Father. He has better ways to help us. Come on. How many fathers do we have here today? Many fathers. What would you ever cause harm or hurt or pain to your child so they can learn something? What kind? No wonder people don't want to come to church. God might break my leg. That's why I preach good news. No, God has a purpose for you to know him, to be healed, to be healthy, to live a blessed and, I'm going to say it, prosperous life. He doesn't want you to suffer financially. He wants you to live in abundance. That's not just money, that's in every area of your life. An abundance of joy, an abundance of peace, an abundance of everything. Why? How can we be a blessing unless we are blessed? How can we preach the gospel? It costs a lot of money to preach the gospel. Unless we are sent to preach the gospel. Unless people pray for us and send us. Many of you are sending people to preach the gospel. Wow, that's your purpose. So what is the gospel? Number one, purpose. Say that with me, purpose. Okay, now number two, penalty or sin. Say sin. Now, I want to share something with you maybe that gives you a little different perspective on sin. I was once in Colombia and sitting by a beautiful river in Colombia called the Magdalena River. I imagine it would be something like Maple Creek or Battle Creek. There's Battle Creek, right? And up in the hills, something beautiful like that, even bigger. But there are fish, not the rainbow trout and brown trout, brook trout that you have here, those beautiful fish, you know, that are in Saskatchewan, this area, but we have different fish in Colombia. But I'm sitting by this beautiful river, and because, like I told you, I share the gospel everywhere, not just on certain days or in certain places, in many different contexts. I'm sitting down because Jesus is my life. I'm sitting down by an older gentleman, a Catholic man, and we're sitting just in front of an old Catholic cathedral. Actually, it was beautiful architecture. I remember there were statues of the saints. And just in front of us was the Magdalena River, and there were fishermen. But they're not fishing with the fly fishing, you know, or the regular fishing with hook bobber. No, they have these nets. And I look down and I see these fishermen. They're casting these huge nets, just whoosh, and they're fishing. And I'm at this time, I'm sitting next to this man, and I start to share with him the gospel, the good news. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit touched me just like that. And I looked at him and I said, you know, it's really easy to understand the gospel. And I said, look at the River Magdalena. And he looks down and I said, there are many, many fish in that river. Now, each and every one of those fish has a purpose, right? They were created to live in that water, to live in the river system, and to survive and thrive in that river. That's their purpose. But if you take those fish out of that river, or if those fish jump independently out of the river, the consequence is death. They're going to die. 100%. Every single one. Now my question is the water angry at the fish? No. Does the water want to punish the fish? Absolutely not. No, it's the consequence of living independently of that water. The fish will die. You know what sin is? Sin is living independently from the unconditional love of God. That's what sin is. Oh, I don't need that. Living independently, every sin is actually independence from the love of God. Prove it to me. Well, adultery is sin, but why do people commit adultery? Because they don't really trust their daddy God to satisfy their desires. He's not really that good. So the sin is living independently from God's unconditional love. Why do people lie and cheat? Well, that's a sin. But what's the root of that? Well, they don't really trust in Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. Are you with me? Not depending on God's unconditional love to provide for them. Why do people gossip? I'm sure that never happens in this church. But why do people gossip? And don't lift your hand right now. I don't want you to be embarrassed. But why do people gossip? Because really, it's an insecurity. And in order to feel better about ourselves, we can talk down about somebody else because, hey, at least I'm not like that person. So not really knowing that we are truly and completely unconditionally loved by God. It's getting really quiet in this beautiful church. So what is the gospel now? Number one, purpose. Number two, sin, penalty. All of us have sinned. Hey, every one of us has sinned. And the wages of sin is death. But number three, what is the gospel? Look, number one, say it with me, purpose. Number two, penalty. Number three, propitiation. This, oh, I love this word. Don't fall asleep on me right now. This is a really great word. It's probably my favorite word in the whole Bible. Propitiation simply means this. Jesus did everything for you. That's what it means. Jesus has already done everything. He's taken all of your sins, past, present, and future sins, and with his blood on the cross, bam, he's forgiven them. He's taken your sickness, your pain, everything you're suffering from right now, it doesn't matter what it is, depression as well, and Jesus took it on the cross, and by his stripes, bam, you are healed. He's taken everything that you need, and guess what? He's already provided it for you. Hallelujah! Good news. One, purpose. Say purpose. Penalty. Propitiation. I'm here to tell you, your sins are all forgiven. Every one of them. They're forgiven. Even that bad thought you had about me earlier, that's forgiven too. Just kidding. Everything is forgiven. And your arthritis is healed. Your cancer has been healed. Wow. Oh, man. Sometimes I preach so good, I think I'm turning into a Saskatchewan person. It's phenomenal. It's like it's too good to be true almost. Right? Wow. It's so good. Purpose, penalty, but propitiation. The work has been done. For God so loved the world. For God so loved Maple Creek. Every person in Maple Creek, Jesus has already forgiven of all of their wrongs, all of their sins. God has nothing against you. He doesn't hold anything against you. He's taken your sickness. He's healed you. But Jesus is not dead. He was buried. 3 days later, he rose again from the dead. Jesus Christ is alive. Jesus Christ is Lord. How many can say amen? Jesus Christ will come back to this world physically. But it seems so fantastic. I want to tell you a story because, you know, stories are kind of like God uses as windows to let the light in and help us understand even more. There's a story I heard, and I never forgot it. I preached this all over the world, in India, South America. When I preached the gospel, I preached this story. Because it's such a perfect picture of God as a father, of who God is and of the gospel. It's a true story of a young girl who lived an amazing life. In fact, she never really had any problems. Her parents kind of spoiled her in a good way and provided everything she ever needed. She always lived in that security and that family atmosphere. But one day, one of her friends approached her and said to her, you know what, this life you're living, You're missing out on something. You know, you're missing out on something. Really, you have to come with us. We're going to show you what life is really all about. So this young girl left her home, and she went with her friends and started to go to the parties. She started to drink, do drugs, a promiscuous lifestyle. And in the beginning, she thought, wow. Oh, this is so much fun. Look what I've been missing my whole life. But then as time went on, she lost all of her money. Now she's a drug addict. And she has no money. So in order to get more money, she had to become a prostitute to try to find money so she could support her drug habit. And now by this time, she's skinny. She has dark circles around her eyes. She's depressed. And her face is just white. She said to herself one day, she said, "I have no more purpose. I'm going to kill myself. My life is over. Look at the mess I've made of my life. I have no reason now to live. I'm going to kill myself. Look what I've done." But then she stopped and she said, "Wait a minute. I remember that house where I lived. I remember my family. I remember that warm feeling I had when I lived in that house. So I'm going to kill myself, but just before I kill myself, all I want to do is I just want to have one last look at that house. Because I want the last memory to be of that feeling I had when I lived in that house." So she approaches her house a little bit inebriated, you know, like kind of drunk, but not really. So she's kind of stumbling along, walking towards her house slowly. And then finally she gets there and she looks at that house and she all of a sudden becomes surprised because the light of the house is turned on and the door is wide open. And she jumps and she says, "Oh no." And she runs inside of the house and her mom is sitting down on the chair. And the girl shouts and she says, "Mother, mother, what's happening?" And the mother says, "What?" And she says, "Well, why is the door open? Why is the light of the house turned on? Is someone trying to rob you? What's going on?" And the mother says, "No. No. The light of this house has always been on. And the door has always been open ever since you left home." I've got good news for you. Doesn't matter where you've been, what you've done. God's door is always open for you. God's light is always turned on. Hallelujah. Jesus said, "Whoever comes to me, I will by no means cast out." It is impossible. God can't reject you. Jesus can't reject you. Oh, your family members may. The person down the street may. But Jesus will never reject you. How is that possible? How is that possible? If you read the scripture, well, you have to understand the gospel. The gospel is a pill. It's like a pill. Gospel. You have to take the gospel. It's possible because of propitiation. Jesus took your sins. He took your guilt. He took your sickness. It is finished. You are forgiven. Jesus has risen from the dead. Hallelujah. Good news, Maple Creek. It is done. Purpose. Penalty. What's the third one? Propitiation. It is done. But I have one more point, and I really hope you get this point. Because some people get so shocked, they say, "Well, what are you saying, Andrew, that everyone is saved, everyone?" That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying this, purpose. Say purpose. Penalty. Sin. This is the gospel I'm preaching. Propitiation. Say it again. Propitiation. Your sins are forgiven. Jesus took your sins. Jesus took your sickness. It is finished. Jesus rose from the dead. But the last point, don't forget it. Please don't forget it. I only have one day with you guys. And I prayed. Wow. And God's really going to, the power of God's going to be released. So you don't forget it. I know you're not going to forget it. The last point is present. The gospel is a gift that you have to receive by faith. If somebody gives you a birthday gift or a Father's Day gift, okay, you had an opportunity today. This is a good picture of the gospel, of what happened today. The pastor, Hans, he's speaking, he gives the invitation, but you had to come up and believe that you're going to get the cookie. Okay, you saw the cookies. Oh, baby. Some of you smelt the cookies. Here are the cookies. Right? Now nobody's going to come into here and say, oh, pastor, oh, I'm so unworthy. How much for the cookie? No, it's free. It's a gift. No, but let me pay for the cookie. Well, then it wouldn't be a Father's Day gift. Hello. But then those beautiful little children, they come up to us and they give us the cookies. Now you're looking at the cookie. The cookie is right there. You don't have to ask for the cookie anymore. Here's the cookie. What do you do to get the cookie? You must reach out and take the cookie. Are you with me? Now, guess what? You can benefit from the cookie. If you don't take the cookie, you're not going to benefit from the cookie. Are you with me? Okay, now look. It's true. Jesus took your sins. He took your sickness. It is finished. But in order to feel the peace, look, in your heart, you must take Jesus into your heart. Jesus has taken your pain. He has healed you by his stripes. But in order to feel his healing power in your body and to be cured physically in your body, you must take Jesus in and receive him as your healer. You must trust him as your baptizer into the power of the Holy Spirit. It's by faith. Say it with me. It's by faith. If you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart Jesus Christ is Lord, you shall be saved. You shall be healed. You shall be baptized into the Holy Spirit. It's all by grace through faith, everything you receive from God. It's by grace through faith, everything. That's why Jesus said, don't be afraid, only believe. Remember that? When Jairus' daughter was about to die, she did die, and Jairus came looking for a miracle, looking for God to do something in his life, like many of you are here, trusting God for a miracle. And then Jesus said, don't be afraid, only believe. Well, why did Jesus say only believe? Because that's the only thing you have to do. Only believe. See, that drives people crazy. The Pharisees were always concerned, what must we do? Jesus, what must we do to get eternal life? It has to be about us. And Jesus said, this is the work of God. This is the work of God. Believe in the one he has sent. Wow. So if you're hungry, only eat. Oh, I know this teaching is so deep. I know it's so deep, you're going to miss it. If you're hungry, only eat. Hello? Then you won't be hungry. If you're thirsty, only drink. If you're tired, only sleep. But not while I'm preaching. I don't allow people to sleep when I'm preaching. And if you need a miracle today, hallelujah, only believe, church. Only believe the gospel. What is the gospel? Purpose, penalty, propitiation, present. You receive it by faith. It's a gift. How many of you are happy for that? Amen? I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God. For everyone who believes it, not for everyone, it doesn't affect everyone, but for those who believe it, it is the power of God. So faith is in your heart. Say that with me. Faith is in my heart. Faith has something to do, first it's in your heart, then it has something to do with what you say, okay? Words, your words have power. But faith is in your heart. Faith is a gift. Amen? But then also, lastly, and we're going to end with this, faith is what you do. Remember Jesus said, or James said, faith without works is dead. Faith is what you do. So that's why when Jesus came to the lame man, imagine there's the lame man, he's sitting here, and Jesus comes up to the lame man. Well, now the power of God is touching the lame man. Are you with me? Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit and power. And the power of God is there now. So imagine if the lame man did not believe in Jesus when Jesus said, take up your bed and walk. So now the lame man is like this. The power of God is here. The power of God is touching him. And he says, oh, Jesus, I can't walk. Oh, you don't understand me, Pastor Jesus. Oh, you're not very nice, Pastor Jesus. You're too bold. I need more prayers, Jesus. Well, the lame man, guess what? He would have stayed lame. He would have stayed sick. He wouldn't have been able to receive. Now, Jesus was there. Imagine, Jesus, the healer, is there physically in front of him. But he had to believe the words of Jesus. Now imagine if Jesus says to him, here's a lame man sitting here, and he says, take up your bed and walk. And he says, no, Jesus, I need more worship songs, Jesus. I need to have more people pray. I need to have more people pray. Call the prayer chain, Jesus. Call all the sisters and brothers of the church to pray. It's not that simple. Well, then he would not have been healed. But when Jesus said, take up your bed and walk, guess what the lame man did? He started to move his leg like this. The power of God touched him and gave him the faith, and then he started to move his leg like that. Watch. That's faith. Faith is action. And then he moved his other leg, and he got up, and he was healed. Are you with me? How many of you like my message? I mean, can you get more direct, huh? I'm an evangelist, and I don't apologize for it. I want you guys to get everything that God has for you today and not miss it. That's why I'm being so clear about this. And I feel the Holy Spirit is helping me. Not just to preach it too, but to demonstrate the power of God. We're about to see the power of God in demonstration. Are you ready? Purpose, penalty, sin, propitiation. Jesus took your sins. He took your sickness. He took your shame. He took everything negative. Look, and the cross made it a positive. The negative, and he made it a positive. Jesus rose from the dead. Now it's a present. It's a gift you receive by faith. Close your eyes. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, I thank you for your presence in this place. I thank you for touching people's hearts. I thank you for revealing Jesus Christ to people. And I ask you to do right now only what you can do, that you would bring new life and salvation to those who have never experienced the forgiveness of sins and new life in Jesus. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, they're going to respond, that they're going to feel a peace. You're going to touch them in Jesus' name. Now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm not going to call you out right now or embarrass you, but I want to give you an opportunity. I want to pray with all of those who want to receive Jesus Christ and believe the gospel for the first time. Or maybe you say, I've walked away, but you're coming back to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you're saying, I need to follow the gospel. I want to believe in the gospel and follow Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. When I count to three, I just want you to lift your hand up way up high so I can see it, so you can acknowledge. I want to pray with you and pray for you. And if you say, that's me, I need to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I want to believe the gospel either for the first time or you're coming back. When I count to three, you lift your hand. One, two, three. Thank you. One, two, three, four. Thank you. Thank you. Lift your hand way up high so I can see it. God bless you. Anyone else? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Now, with our eyes closed, our heads bowed, I want everyone to repeat this prayer out after me strongly. I'll say a few words. You say it out after me in support of our new brothers and sisters in Christ, okay? Repeat this prayer out after me. Say, Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you now. I believe you love me unconditionally. I am a sinner, but I believe in the gospel that Jesus took my sins and Jesus has finished the work. And I believe Jesus has risen from the dead. I now repent. I change my mind. And I put all my faith in the gospel, in you, in your word, and in your work. And I receive you now as my Lord and Savior. Thank you, God. Jesus now lives in me forever. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Wow. Give Jesus a big hand clap for that. That's fantastic.